الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوة إلى يوم الدين. Alhamdulillah, we have been reading a hadith of Kitabul Ilm from the famous book Mishkatul Masabih. This is Allah's tawfiq that Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed us to read the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal benefit us from these hadith. For those who are listening, whether they're listening here in the masjid or those who are listening on the mixer, and may Allah give us tawfiq to act upon this hadith. Ameen. Last week we read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا حسد إلا في اثنين. There is no hasad, yani you should not do hasad except for two people. رجل آتاه الله مالا فسلطه على هلكته في الحق. A man whom Allah has given wealth, and Allah Azza wa Jal has enabled him, this is the nearest meaning, to spend it in haq. ورجل آتاه الله الحكمة فهو يقضي بها ويعلمها. And another person whom Allah Azza wa Jal has given wisdom, and he makes judgment with that wisdom, and he also teaches with that wisdom. So in Islam we don't have jealousy, because jealousy is against Iman. However, if there was jealousy, if jealousy would have been permissible, then it would have been permissible against two people, somebody whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has given wealth, and he spends that wealth in haq, and another person whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has given hikmah, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, and he makes judgment because of that wisdom, and he also teaches that to others. So ilm is such thing, and especially the ilm of hadith and the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such a thing that if jealousy would have been permissible, it would have been permissible against such people. Obviously, when you see somebody, a knowledgeable person, you don't wish that knowledge or wisdom to be taken away from that person, but rather you wish if you could be like that person. So technically it is not jealousy, it is ghibta, that you admire somebody and you wish if you can be like that person. That's why we see in the Islamic history, the ulama, they used to have desire to be like so and so. You know, people always, they think of themselves like somebody, or they wish if they could be like somebody. You know, people have ideals or heroes. You know, you play sports. There are famous people who do sports. So everybody has that person in his mind, that I wish if I could be like him. And people train for hours and hours in order to be like that person. Some time ago, somebody told me that there is a young boy, you know, 6-7 years old, and he plays football or, you know, soccer, and he has somebody in his mind that I want to be like that famous person from Brazil. There is a famous person in Brazil, I want to be like that famous person. He's just 6 years old, because this is what his fathers, you know, what his parents have fed in his mind. They talk to him about that great personality again and again, again and again, so much so that his entire dream is to be like that person. So we see in the Islamic history that parents, they used to tell their children that inshallah you will be like so and so. If somebody has desire for ilm, for example, they would say, well, you will be like Ibrahim al-Nakhai, you will be like Hamad, you will be like Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, you will be like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, you will be like so and so. If somebody has a desire for his children to serve Islam, to travel across the world, to take the word of Allah Azza wa Jal to all corners of the world, they will say, you will be like, you know, Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, he conquered so many countries. You will be like Amr ibn al-As, you will be like Khalid ibn Walid, you will be like Tariq ibn Ziyad. Tariq ibn Ziyad went to Spain. So they used to tell their children that you will be like so and so. And the children, they used to develop the desire for ilm. And if you have sincere desire, Allah will make it easy. If you have sincere desire, Allah will make it happen. Why not? There is nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is Imam in Haram. Imam in Haram, in Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. So somebody asked him, how you became Imam? You know, becoming Imam of Haram is not something easy, right? Obviously, it requires knowledge and formal education and certification, and you know, you'll also have so many competitors. You will have to beat so many people. I am saying in the normal sense, obviously. You don't have the desire to defeat anybody, but rather you want to go ahead. So somebody asked him, how you became Imam of Haram? It's not easy. And especially you have thousands of people, you know, in fact hundreds of thousands of people praying behind you. He said, because of my mother. Because my mother, whenever she was happy, she used to say, you will be Imam of Haram. You will be Imam of Haram. And he is not from Saudi Arabia. He is not from Saudi Arabia. You don't have to be, you know, for a mother's dua to be accepted. You don't have to be from somewhere for the dua to be accepted. Allah can accept the dua. Allah Azza wa Jal, He can accept the dua, why not? So she used to say that, and that day came, and this person, he became the Imam of Haram, although he's not from there. I can mention his name, but there are some political, you know, views, so he expressed, so I don't want you to get confused. So people used to upbring their children with that desire in their mind. The best thing anybody can do is to gain the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best thing you can give it to your children is that knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه he narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he said إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عنه عمله. When a person dies, his action is discontinued after him. إلا من ثلاثة, except for three people, or except for three things. إلا من صدقة جارية, except for صدقة which continues. أو علم ينتفع به, or knowledge from which people gain benefit. أو ولد صالح يدعو له, or a pious child who makes dua for him? Rawahu Muslim. This is the narration of Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is one of those companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who have narrated thousands of ahadith. Abu Huraira is one of the mukthirin of Sahaba. Among the Sahaba you have people for various things. So Abu Huraira, he became known for his hadith. However, it is interesting that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he did not accept Islam at a very early stage. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam at a very late stage. He accepted Islam at the time of Khaybar. So Khaybar is quite late. And after the Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only lived for a few years. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to see his Lord. But how come Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he gained all this knowledge of hadith, although he did not live for many years? Because time does not matter. What matters is commitment. Since he accepted Islam, he never departed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, once he accepted Islam, that's Islam settled in his heart. He made up his mind, the best thing I can do now is to stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Literally, he would stay with him day and night. He will not go anywhere. No shopping, no sightseeing, no long drives, no short drives. He would stay in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will not even go and work. He will not go and he will stay in the masjid. This is tawakkul. But tawakkul is not for everybody. Tawakkul is not for everybody. Although the highest level of tawakkul is that you have tawakkul without asbab. Generally people, you know, they quote the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, i'qil wa tawakkal. You know, a man, he came and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that you tie the camel and you rely on Allah azza wa jal. So people generally quote this hadith and they assume that you should have asbab and then you should rely on Allah azza wa jal. That is the rule for normal people, for average people. But is that the rule for everybody? That you take asbab and have tawakkul? No. There is another level of tawakkul which is far beyond and far above that level of tawakkul, which is tawakkul without asbab. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown into the fire, Jibreel, he came and he said, هَلْ لَكَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ? Do you need me? Is there anything I can do for you? I am at your service. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, أَمَّا إِلَيْكَ فَلَا. أَمَّا إِلَيْكَ فَلَا. As far as need towards you, I don't need you. He did not deny the need. Well, you know, you are in the middle of the fire. Well, you are certainly in need to be saved from that fire. The first thing to do is to get out of that fire. However, he said, well, I don't need you. If you, may Allah forbid, if there is fire, then the first thing you do is to save your life, and you should. We should save our life. Our life matters. Our life also matters. Right? So we should save our life. And then you should also save the life of anybody whom you can save. And if somebody is helping you, you should seek his help. You should get his help. You should not deny the help. Because he is helping to save your life. And life is very important. However, Ibrahim alayhi salam is different. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Ibrahim, he was a nation in himself, alayhi salam. He is not one single person. He himself is a nation. He himself is jama'ah. You know, you have the famous hadith, Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah. Allah's hand is with the jama'ah. The people who are on haq, they're jama'ah. The people who are on haq, they're jama'ah. Even if you have one person on haq, he's jama'ah. He himself was nation, alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, well, I don't need you. How come? Because he knew that Allah is going to help him. If Allah Azza wa Jalla has made that arrangement for him to be thrown into the fire, well, certainly he also has arrangement to save him. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the friend of the people who believe. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is obligatory upon us to help believers. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he knew, so he did not seek help. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he used to stay in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If something comes from Allah, he will have. Although people might bring, but it is not people are bringing, it is Allah who is sending. It is Allah Azza wa Jalla who is sending. So anyway, he used to stay in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to just learn anything from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and teach to other people. That's how Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he became from the Mukthirin of Sahaba who have narrated lots of ahadith. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ إِنْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ. When a person dies, his actions discontinue. And what is going to happen after you die, not our nasab, you know, my family, my ancestors were like this. My great-grandfather was like this. Okay. If your great-grandfather was so and so, so what? My father, he built the masjid. Okay, that is great. What have you done? This masjid, you know, my great-grandfather's uncle, he built. People, they mention, this fan, my auntie's son, he donated this fan. Subhanallah. In some countries, I have seen people write the names. People write the names of the people who have donated the money. Why do you need that name to be there? Do something for the sake of Allah, but then forget it. If you have done that thing for the sake of Allah, Allah knows. Whether people know, people don't know, people remember you, people don't remember you. Even if people make dua for you and people don't make dua for you, it doesn't matter. You have done that thing for the sake of Allah. Who is more important for you? These people who are going to die? These people who were never there before and they will be not again? Or Allah who is ever living, who is everlasting, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, once she sent some money as a form of gift in a small bag to a person. But the person whom she sent the money with, she said, go and visit him and said, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she sent this, but go, don't give it in his hand, just place it there, place the money next to him and don't ask him for dua. You know, this is the nearest meaning of the narration which I remember. Okay, he did what he was told to do. When he came back, he said, why you told me not to give it in his hand and to place it next to him? She said, because he is an alim. He is a great alim. And if you give him in his hand, your hand will be upper and his hand will be lower. I did not want his hand to be lower than your hand. Who is this person saying? Aisha, Ummul Mumineen, the best, one of the best women in the entire, you know, humanity. the most beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mention her by name and praise her by name. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to mention his wife, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, by name. And he used to express how much he admired them and how much he valued them, radiallahu anhunna ajma'in. So, well, why not dua? Why not dua? She said, I have given that money for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. I don't want anything from him. Not even dua. All I want is from Allah. All I want is from Allah. But this is a different level. This is a different level. Now people give $5 and they say, I want to have a receipt. Make a receipt for $5. Why? So that I can keep it in my record. I can show it to my children that on such and such day I donated $5. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ إِنْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ. When the human being dies, his actions discontinue. And the thing which is going to benefit after a person dies is his actions, his amal. After iman, the most important thing which will benefit is amal. In the grave, it is amal which is going to benefit. And that's why we have in the hadith that the Quran comes and defends the person who is in the grave. The people who used to recite, recite the Quran, the Quran comes and defends. Right? Certain surahs from the Quran, they come and defend. Certain ayat from the Quran, they come and defend the person who used to recite them. People think that reading the Quran is a waste of time. A'udhu Billah. Instead of being happy that these people, they are reading Allah's words. What else, better than this? That this person, he is giving his valuable time to read the Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. There is nothing which can bring a person closer than the Quran to Allah Azza wa Jal. So instead of appreciating when people see the children reading the Quran, many people who consider themselves very intellectual, very much educated, they think these people are wasting time reading the Quran. A'udhu Billah, wasting time. Well, you read the newspaper, that is the best use of your time. You read these junk magazines, is that the best use of your time? I used to see lots of people in my early days, especially lots of non-Muslims, they carry, books. Many Europeans, especially when I used to travel, you're on a coach, on a train, in the airplane, they always have a book. And as soon as they sit somewhere, open the book and read, open the book and read. I used to admire them very much. And I still, reading a book is a good habit. Sometimes I saw people, when they're in the queue, they're reading the book. Right? MashaAllah, these people, they have, they're making better use of their time. You're in the queue and you are actually reading a book. And in fact, once I read an article in an Arabic newspaper praising the Europeans, that the Europeans, they make use of their time even when they're queuing for the airplane. You have done everything, you have got the boarding card, and now you have just to climb the ladder. So, it's just a matter of a few minutes, but still some people open the book and read. But then one day I said to myself, at least I should know what is it that they are reading. Because it is not reading which matters. It is what you are reading that matters. It is what you are reading that matters. And then I discovered that most of it is just junk. Most of what people read, obviously some people read something related to their work, something which is related, which is going to help them improve their life. You know, nowadays we have this craze about personal development, right? You want to become healthy and you want to become this, you want to become that. Okay, no problem. But only a few people. But most of it is just novels. And what is it in those novels? Almost the same repeated ideas. Somebody is killing somebody, you are looking for the person who was killed. Somebody is after somebody for relationships. And somebody is after somebody's money. So either it is money, or legal-illegal relationships, or, you know, mystery and murder and all these things. That's why, see, the Qur'an is very specific, and the Qur'an is very miracle. اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Read in the name of your Lord. Not anything you read is going to help you. There are books which will fill the libraries. Believe me, if you read all of those books, will you become wise? If you read all of those books, will you ever become wise? No. What is beneficial for you, if you read that, yes, you will become wise. Otherwise, just reading anything, reading everything, does not make any difference whatsoever. So when a person dies, his actions discontinue. And what is going to help him after his life is his, after Iman is Amal. His Salah is going to help him. His Tilawah of the Quran is going to help him. His Dhikr of Allah is going to help him. In the grave, after the grave, so many stages in Barzakh and so many stages of Hashr, his Amal is going to help him. Even parents will not help. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. The man, he will run from his brother. He will run from his own mother. He will run away. No. I need this money. I need this money for myself. وَصَاحِبَتِي وَبَنِيهِ. Man will run even from his own wife. I don't know you. We have known each other. In dunya that is enough. But now, I need Allah's mercy. So on that day, what is going to help is his amal. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ إِنْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ. Once a person dies, his amal cannot increase. If you have prayed these many prayers, that's it. You cannot even add two more rak'at. The door is closed, the chapter is closed. If you have donated this much money, once you die, the door is closed. Well, even before you die, once a person enters into the stage of what is called maradul maut, a person, he is about to die. You know, people know that he is going to die. His authority over his own money is not there. If at that stage, if he says, well, take all this money for the masjid, he is not allowed to do that. He cannot make a will at that stage. He says, well, all my money is for orphan children. Not now. Not now. You should have given charity when you are strong and when you fear the poverty. Sahihun taqshal faqr. You should have given the charity when you are healthy and when you fear that if I am going to give this much money, well, what is going to be left for me? What is going to happen to me? If you have that fear and that risk, but still you prefer Allah's pleasure, that is charity. Now you know you are going to die anyway, well, take it for orphans, not anymore. The maximum you can make a will is 1/3. Because the rest of the money is for your waratha. When you are alive, you can give up all money. When you are healthy, obviously I'm not saying you should do, You should keep money for yourself and also for your family. But technically speaking, a person, he can give up all his money. So once a person dies, even he cannot increase one more dollar in sadaqah. Sadaqah, the door of sadaqah is closed. Okay, I used to recite the Quran. Once a person dies, he cannot recite one more ayah. Once the real eye will open and he will know the value of the Quran, he will be just surprised, and he will wish if he can just, you know, read one more ayah. No, not anymore. Not anymore. In qata anhu amaluhu, his amal will stop. But you see, Allah is merciful, and Allah Azza wa Jal, He always has a way. If you are sincere, there is always a special way for you, a special exit for you. Except for three. Illa min sadaqatin jariya. So amal will discontinue except for sadaqa jariya. Sadaqa jariya will continue. There is an area where people don't have clean water, and you make provision for them to have clean water. As long as people are drinking water, you have thawab. There is somewhere where there is no hospital, or there are hospitals but people don't have insurance. This is something you have to add. There are hospitals, there are doctors, but there is no insurance. What do you do? Well, make a provision for the people who don't have insurance. So as long as people are being treated because of this provision, you will have thawab. This is sadaqa jariya. This is sadaqa jariya. Because ilaj is also sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no illness, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has also revealed cure. If Allah has sent down an illness, Allah also has sent down cure. This is the meaning of a hadith. Subhanallah. When Muslims were creative in the application of Islam, you had very amazing, you know, stuff. In Damascus, there was a waqf, endowment. I don't know if you have observed, when children, they go to the masjid to read the Quran, for example, or when they go to madrasa, when they go to school, well, they need a lot of motivation, right? Especially if it is not fun. If it is fun, yes, they will go and have fun. But if it is something serious, you need to have some motivation. And usually, because shaitan is against the Quran, so when you are reading the Quran, there is no fun. When you are learning the Quran, there is no fun. So if there is no fun, how are you going to motivate the children? In Damascus, there was a waqf. Like, you know, income from properties, income from certain sources. And that waqf was utilized to buy chickpeas. You know chickpeas? Only for that purpose. That somebody stands at the door of the madrasa, of the door of the school. So the children who come early to the madrasa, they will have those chickpeas. And, you know, by the time they have time for lesson, the person, he will disappear. So if you want to have chickpeas, you come early. So children, they used to drag their parents. It is not the parents who are dragging the children. Children, they used to push their parents, well, let's go early, because I want to have chickpeas. And that was a waqf. That was a waqf. Meaning, say you have a shop, so this person, he made that shop waqf, that the rent from that shop will be used to buy this sweet or buy this type of food only for the children of this madrasa until the day of judgment. So every time the children will come early, and every time the children will have motivation to read, they will have thawab. And obviously these children, they will read and they will teach so many other people. They will read and they will do so many good deeds because of what they have learned. That is on top of that. Right? In Turkey, there are some mountains. In those mountains, in winter, the birds struggle to find food because it snows. So you have snow everywhere. So the birds who live in those areas, they struggle to find food. During the time of Ottomans, you know, the Osmaniyin, Ottoman Empire, there was a waqf to buy food for the birds who live in those mountains. There was a waqf, and there is a waqf, not was a waqf, there is a waqf, to buy, you know, seeds for those birds who live in those mountains. See how Allah arranges the rizq. How Allah Azza wa Jalla, He arranges. This is tawakkul. Have they done something special for that food to be arranged for them? No. So somebody, obviously there is a body responsible, and every winter they go and buy a specific type of seeds which are useful for those birds, and they actually travel to those mountains and they spread it everywhere, and you know, at certain intervals. So this is amal salih, this is sadaqa jariya. All of this is good, to make, you know, a hospital, to have an orphanage, to look after the animals, to look after the cats and horses, right? All of this is good. But the best sadaqa jariya is the ilm of deen. Ilm of deen is the best form of sadaqa jariya. Because if you have the ilm of deen, all these things will continue. If you don't have the ilm of deen, nothing will be there. Ilm of deen, the knowledge of deen, is the foundation of all the good deeds. That's why the best sadaqa jariya is the money which you spend to preserve the knowledge of deen and to spread the knowledge of deen. But shaitan, he has twisted our minds. So anybody who will have some money, the first thing comes to his head, well, I'm going to have something in my name. I want to make an endowment in my name. I want to do this charity. Okay, do that charity. I want to do this project, do that project. I want to spend money here, I want to spend money there. Do that, there is no harm. There is no harm. But if you can make an investment where you're going to have 10% return, and you have an opportunity to have 50% return, which one is better? If you make an investment where you can have 100% return, well, there is 1000% return, there is million times return, which one is better? Anybody who is wise, he will go for the most. Because at the end of the day, you want to have sawab. Human being is after this calculation. So people, you know, sometime recently we had a meeting with some of the businessmen here in Chicago locally. So he told us that he goes for Hajj only in Ramadan. Sorry, he goes for Umrah in Ramadan. Because that way he would have taken his family, and also he would have lot of sawab, because in Ramadan, for every good deed you have more sawab, and for Umrah certainly you will have lot of sawab. So we are all after this calculation. When a person dies, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ وَيُقَضَى عَنْ وَعْمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ, his actions discontinue. The door is closed except for three. Illa min sadaqatin jariya. Except for sadaqa jariya. Now sadaqa jariya is wide, is broader. Now, in order to emphasize a specific type of sadaqah jariyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أو علم ينتفع به, or knowledge from which people can benefit. Now, this knowledge from which people can benefit, this is already included in sadaqah jariyah. But because this is the best form of sadaqah jariyah, and this is the highest form of sadaqah jariyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this specifically. علم ينتفع به, knowledge which is beneficial. So you learn, you teach, that is علم ينتفع به. Some ulama, they write books, that is علم ينتفع به. Some people, they buy books and they donate books, although not many people do that. Not many people do that. The best gift is a book. Why not? If somebody is getting married, what do you do? People go and buy cutlery, cooker. Well, cooker, it may work, it may not work. Or even if you have warranty, it is only for 1 year, for 3 years, that's it. Finished. Give them a book. Not any book, because there are lots of junks. Give them a book which can benefit. If this book is there in the family, well, the husband will read, the wife will read, the children will read, and that book might continue in the generations. And there are certain books which people can read again and again, and they will never get tired. And that is the beauty of the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no matter how many times you read, you are never satisfied. You are never satisfied. Subhanallah. Nowadays, you know, we don't have courage to read books, right? And somehow somebody can read few pages, mashallah, he's very, very lucky. In the past, the ulama, they used to read the entire book with the shaykh. And they used to read the entire book again with the same shaykh, just to make sure that I have understood everything properly. And they will read it again, 2-3 times. They will read it again, 2-3 times. The same book they will read to the same ustaz, 2-3 times. Nowadays, the students, they hardly read something and then they want to run away. They say that, for me, that is enough. Now I have graduated. That is enough. Our ilm yuntafa'u bihi, ilm which can be beneficial, that is the best form of sadaqah jariyah. That's why in the early period of Islam, ilm was valued. Ulama were valued. This is the rule. Any nation, any society, any community will only prosper if you have value for knowledge. You don't have value for knowledge, then what do you have? You have value for ignorance. If you don't value people who are wise, what are you going to do? You're going to give high status to the people who are ignorant. You're going to give status to the people who are ignorant. In the early period of Islam, the Khulafa, they used to have a lot of respect for ulama. Lot of respect. Although ulama, they did what they did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a period of time when books were translated during the Abbasid period. Many books were translated into Arabic, from Arabic. So once a alim would translate a book, the Khalifa, he will place that translation of the book in one pan of the scale. And in the other pan of the scale, he will place the gold. He will place the book in one pan of the scale and the gold in the other pan of the scale. What happens? If you see this, well, you would want to translate another book. And if your child sees this, he will say, well, I will translate two books. If your child sees this, he will say, well, I will translate 5 books. I will go for 10. 10 is a good number. This is how it starts. And then, slowly, slowly, they realize that this gold is going to finish. No matter how much gold you gather, it's going to finish. Well, let me translate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So then they will do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like many ulama, they said that when we were reading hadith, when we started learning hadith, our father would say that every time you learn a hadith, I will give you 1 dinar, 1 dirham. You write 1 hadith? Okay, write 1 hadith and get 1 dirham. But writing hadith that is not like copying from a book. You actually go to a shaykh, and that shaykh, he will narrate the hadith from his chain all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you want to write another hadith, then you have to find another shaykh who has his own chain of narration to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you can do that for a dirham. if you're going to have 1 more dirham, why not? Go and write 1 more hadith. Okay, you do that for a period of time. But when you read the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you read the kalam of Allah azza wa jal, again and again, what will happen? Ikhlas will enter. Ikhlas will enter. And then you do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if somebody gives you a dirham, somebody does not give you a dirham, it doesn't matter. Because you know what Allah is giving you is far more precious than this dirham. But you have to value in order to encourage people to seek that path. You have to value the ulama. And you have to value the people who are seeking ilm, the students as well. The students who are seeking ilm, you have to value them. You have to appreciate them. You have to honor them. You have to respect them. If you do that, then when the younger generation, they see that alim is valued, then they say, well, I want to become like him. Although this desire is not good, that you know, the high status this person has, I want to have that high status. That is, this desire in itself is not the pure desire. But this is his understanding. Because the children, they can only see what they can see. If you value the students of knowledge, if you value the people who are seeking ilm, then the younger generation, they want to seek ilm. But once they seek ilm, slowly, slowly, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them ikhlas. You know, they come, give them some sweets. Every now and then, offer them some tea. I don't know. Whatever is good and whatever is possible. So they are coming for tea, let them come for tea. They are coming for sweets, let them come for sweets. Give them some money. People who are seeking ilm, give them money. Nowadays, it is very unfortunate because we don't have a system in place to support the knowledge of deen. So we have the fees, you know, in any madaris, you have the system of the fees that the people who are seeking ilm, they give the fees in order to, cover the expenses, which is a necessity. But in the early period, the ulama, they used to give the money to the students. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he used to give money to Abu Yusuf, Qazi Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah. Imam Abu Hanifa, he was a businessman. He was a very wealthy person. Now, his wealth was not for holidays. As soon as you have some money, you want to have a bigger house. Okay, everybody is doing that. His wealth was to spread the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every year, when he used to have the returns of his businesses, Imam Abu Hanifa, he used to make bags of money. And he used to send these bags to all the ulama of the Kufa, all the ulama of Iraq. Go and give this much money to this alim, go and give this muhaddith, this faqih, this mufassir, this imam, this shaykh, and tell them, you do what you are doing. So not only that Imam Abu Hanifa, he used to give money to the ulama, he used to give the money to the students who are seeking ilm. Why? Value them, value your student. Value your students, the people who are coming to seek. These people, they are the most noble people who are coming to seek the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the most important people because they are preserving the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If nobody lives to preserve the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the deen will not be there. If deen is not there, dunya will not be there as well. If deen will, the day when nobody says Allah, Allah, what happens? Allah will wrap up everything. The day when nobody remembers Allah Azza wa Jal, well, there is no need for the world to live and exist. There is no reason for it to exist. Allah will, you know, discontinue the business. So the people who are seeking ilm, they have favor upon everything which is existing. The people who are seeking the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have favor upon everything, not only upon Muslims, not only upon the human being. They have favor upon everything which is existing in this life. Because everything is existing because of these people who are seeking the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why I am saying this? Because in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has taught us that the people who seek the ilm of Allah azza wa jal, everything makes dua for them. Why everything would bother to make dua for you? Even the fish in the sea, they make dua for them. Well, why the fish is making dua for you? You are sitting here. Because Allah Azza wa Jal can make them aware that the world is existing. They are existing because of these people. Because of these people who remember Allah Azza wa Jal, everything is there, everything is functioning. The day when nobody remembers Allah, everything will not function. Nothing will function. So the people who are seeking ilm, value them. Value them so that the ilm of deen can continue. Appreciate them so that the ilm of... No, you see, wherever you go, throughout the world, in the past and also at present, you have the scholarships, right? Why do you have scholarships? Why do you have scholarships? So that you can encourage more people to come forward. You encourage more people to come forward. When I was studying, and I am still, you know, like you are young and you want to explore the world and you want to go and see. I came across so many things which are just surprising and even shocking. There are many non-Muslim institutes which teach Islam and which give you very high scholarships in many countries. They will have their own reasons for doing that. And that scholarship is for thousands of dollars every year. And within Muslims, you know, within the Muslim community, you have the mainstream Ahlul Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. And we are very proud of ourselves being the people of Haqq. Okay, proud of yourself. What are you doing? You are from the people of Haqq. That is good. What are you doing for the Haqq? What are you doing for the Nusra of Haqq, for the support of Haqq? There are many, you know, small sects, small groups, tiny groups. Obviously, they also claim to belong to Islam as well. These small, many groups, or sects, or, you know, firaq, they offer high scholarship. I can name, but it is not appropriate for me. They offer a very high scholarship. I was told that some of these sects, they offer scholarship as much as, or twice as much as, one person's salary. If you go and work full time, how much you get? You know, if you have an average job, how much money will you make? You will make this much money. Why you go and, you know, work? You are a bright person. Come and study. We will teach you. not only you will get your salary, you will get twice as much as your salary. What will you do? Will you go and work? If you're getting, say, I don't know how much people get here, but I assume, say, somebody is making $7,000, somebody is making $10,000, $5,000, and I say, come and sit here in California, I'll give you $10,000 every month. What will you do? You say, well, this is the best deal. I was looking for this deal. So, now these sects, how do they survive? Many of these beliefs, many of their ideas, they are very much far away from the mainstream ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the mainstream teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they are still thriving. They are still very, you know, very much intact. How come? Because they value their knowledgeable people, and they value their own knowledge. So they exist. I personally have met with some of these people from various sects who study at various institutes. Believe me, they used to ask me questions for which I don't have any answer. How much are you paid for seeking ilm? How much are you paid for studying Islam? Do you get a house? Do you get a salary for your family? Well, we, alhamdulillah, we are okay. We have the air ticket twice a year to go to our country and come back twice. We have accommodation for our own family. Like if you are married, you can actually bring your family and stay here. Why not? We'll give you a house. You don't have to worry about the rent. So the rent is paid, the accommodation is paid, the salary is paid. All you have to do is just learn and study. I am saying this because I have met with these people. Now, okay, they are doing what they are doing. That is their own business. What about the people of the Haqq? The people who are very proud of themselves, that we follow the right path. Okay, follow the right path. What are you doing for the right path? What are you doing for the right path? Some of these people, they donate trucks of books. Once I visited one of my teachers, may Allah reward him. So I had, he had piles of books. Piles of books, like the books were unloaded from a truck. I said, what are these books? Where are they from? He said, well, from such and such country, from such and such people. They know that this alim, he does not belong to them. They know very well that this alim, he's not, from them. But there is no harm in trying anybody. Right? You can knock any door, you never know. Now, these trucks of books, not all of these books belong to their sect. Many of these books are beneficial for us. But in between, they also keep few books which are good for their business. So they have donated, trucks. And it is not only for this shaykh, for this alim. They do that for many people. They even give money to some ulama of our people. Directly, indirectly. Why? And when you get the money, you will not speak about their beliefs, their ideas. So knowledge which benefits is going to be sadaqah jariyah. If knowledge does not benefit, if knowledge does not encourage you for amal, if knowledge does not encourage you to remain on the right path, if knowledge does not support you, that is not sadaqah jariyah. Aw ilmin yuntafa'u bihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to seek refuge in Allah azza wa jal from knowledge which does not benefit. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Oh Allah, we seek refuge in you from ilm which does not benefit. Because there is knowledge which benefits and there is knowledge which does not benefit. All these people who are reading all these books, well, that is knowledge. But is that knowledge leading them to the haqq? there are institutes, there are provisions, there are scholarships, there is a very much strong, you know, network of support, everything, but is that beneficial for Akhirah? That is not beneficial for Akhirah. What people are doing, what they are doing, I have not seen people lazy, wal-iyadu billah, like the people who follow the haqq. People who follow the haqq, they should be you know, energetic, they should be active. We are doing lots of things, no doubt, but we are doing very, very little for the knowledge of deen. And I'm saying this with all the responsibility. We are doing so many good things, no doubt. We are building big, big masajid. We are doing so lot of charity work, lots of this, lots of that. But for the knowledge of deen, we are doing very little. When the human being dies, his actions discontinue. إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ أَوْ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ or a pious child who makes dua for him. When a person makes dua for somebody, this dua benefits him. But he will only make dua if you have brought him up so that he will make dua for you. If you have neglected him, is he going to make dua for you? If he does not remember Allah Azza wa Jal, how is he going to make dua for you? A person who remembers Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he is going to make dua for his parents. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Ya Allah, my parents, they have done this much. My grandparents, they have done this much. My uncles, they have done this much. My aunties, they have done this. Ya Allah, please forgive them. Because Iman comes with loyalty. People who have Iman, they also have loyalty. Anybody who has done anything good for you, you remember it. Only people who have wickedness, they are not loyal. They forget very quickly, very easily. Otherwise, people whose heart is clean and pure, they will remember your favors. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to remember Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. And he used to remember her in front of Aisha radiallahu anha. Somebody is married to a new wife. Is he going to remember the old wife? Somebody gets married to another wife. Is he going to remember the old wife? No, the old is gone. Let's have focus. Focus on the new wife. Old, I have nothing to do with the old wife. Now, if the wife dies, well, that is the best thing. She has died, she has died. Now I have a living wife. You have a living wife. Why you want to worry about the wife who has died? No. Well, she was a good woman. Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, she was a pious lady. She sacrificed all her life for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time I think about the story of Khadija radiallahu anha taking the food to the cave of Hira, I'm shocked. The mountain is quite high and quite far from Makkah. And at that time, you know, there were no Uber and no rides. The journey is difficult. Now, during the day, when it is really hot, to go all the way from Makkah to there, that itself is quite a big, you know, big job. And then to climb for a lady, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, when Rasulullah married her, she was 40 years old. And our Prophet he was 25 years old. And now when Rasulullah he was 40 years old, she was 55 years old. For a woman who is 55 years old, to go all the way from Makkah to there, and then to climb the mountain, what for? She is just going to take water and dates to the husband. Well, why is he sitting there? If he comes home, I will feed him. Well, he's not coming home. That's not my business. Okay, I have the food ready at home. Let him come home and again, I will offer him food. Oh, you trust your husband. You know that he's a good person. You believe in him. Although by that time, Rasulullah SAW, he had not received the Quran. He had not received the Wahi. But there is a trust established. There is a faith established that she trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must be there for a good reason. What is that good reason? I don't know. He may not answer me if I ask, questions. But I know he is a good man. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in the cave and Sayyidah Khadija radhiyallahu anha, she used to take the food all the way up. Believe me, even for young people nowadays, it's not easy to go up and down. Although now you have, mashallah, stairs. Even though you have stairs, still it is very hard, very difficult. But this is loyalty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to remember Khadija radhiyallahu anha even after her death. And he did not hesitate mentioning her and remembering her in front of other wives. Radhiyallahu anha ajma'in. This is loyalty. So when you have family members who are pious, they are going to remember you. Family members who are pious, they will remember you, they will make dua for you. They will go to the grave and they will read Fatiha. They will read the Quran. They will do something good. They will do sadaqah on your behalf. They will make anything in order to please Allah Azza wa Jal and in order to bring some good for you. That's why it is mentioned in some hadith that your child is some of the best earning for you. Your child is your best earning. How come? Because your earning is there to benefit you. You earn money, well, you make best use of that money, whether for dunya or for akhirah. Well, the best thing you have earned is your child. Now look after this child. Look after this child whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has given. If Allah has given you one child, that one child is the best earning you have. If Allah has given you four children, these four children are the best. And if you can dedicate all of them for the service of Allah's deen, do that. If you can dedicate all of them for the service of deen, do that. Why not? Allah given them. I did not bring them to life. It is Allah Azza wa Jalla who has given them existence. So the best thing for them to do is to serve Allah's deen and to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Or at least one child for deen. Huh? And the first thing people say, how is he going to eat? The first thing people comes from الشيطان يعدهم الفقرة ويأمرهم بالفحشاء. Read the Quran. You have all the answers. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Shaitan, he promises poverty. Meaning, Shaitan, he scares you of poverty. If you are going to serve Allah, you will become poor. A'udhu billah. You serve the king and you will not be fed. You serve a wealthy person and he will not give you pocket money. Huh? How is that possible? You are in the court of the king and you are not looked after. How is that possible? Wallahu ya'idukum minhu maghfiratan wa fadla. And Allah promises forgiveness and fadl. Look at the order of the words. Allah promises forgiveness. Because although you are worried about dunya, but your most important need is akhirah. So Allah has promised that first. Allah has guaranteed that first. Allah is promising you forgiveness. Don't worry. You will be forgiven. Okay, this dunya you will also get. وَفَضْلَ And you will also get fadl. Fadl from Allah Azza wa Jal. So the best earning is your child. So your child, if he is pious, he's going to make dua for you. Your daughter, if she's going to be pious, she will make dua for you. And she will also tell her children to make dua for you as well. In our families, we should have the tradition, at least once in a while, sit down, read some Quran, and make dua for your ancestors, for your parents, for your grandparents, why not? Otherwise, you don't have to specific a time every year when somebody has died and on that day you gather. You don't have to do that. But at least, just to make the children aware, just to make the family aware that you had such and such people in your family. Somebody died, somebody died, somebody died, somebody is alive. Well, make dua for them. Those who are alive, Ya Allah, give them health. Ya Allah, give them long life. Why not? And those who have passed away, Ya Allah, they have gone to your mercy. Please, you know, they are in desperate need of your mercy. Make dua. So if you make dua in front of the children, then the children will learn how to make dua for you as well. Because everybody is going to die one day. Many of our teachers, they used to say that if you want to benefit from a book, you know, you have lots of books, right? If you want to benefit from a book, then before you open the book, make dua for the person who has written that book. Every time. Ya Allah, Imam Tabrizi, Khatib al-Tabrizi, rahimahullah, who has compiled these, you know, thousands of ahadith from Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, Dar Qutni, Bayhaqi, Tabarani, Razin, Musnad Imam Shafi'i, many other books. Ya Allah, please forgive him. Ya Allah, elevate his status. Ya Allah, reward him on our behalf. Every time you read the book, make dua for them. Now, there is no connection between people who are alive. Forget about the connection with the people who have already died. How are you going to have barakah in your life? How are you going to have barakah in your life? Barakah comes with connection. Barakah comes with connection. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu an, his father died. His mother, she brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was 10 years old. 10 years old. Not mature. 10 years old. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, he is a little servant for you. Khuwaidimuka Ya Rasulullah. Khadim, servant. Well, he's not a full khadim. He's not a full khadim. You know, little child, he cannot do every single thing. If you ask him for a cup of water, okay, he may go and fetch a cup of water. But if you ask him to do some paint the house, he cannot do that. If you ask him a big job, he cannot do that. So you cannot ask him. So he is a little servant. His mother said, Sulaim radiallahu anha, Ya Rasulullah, he is a little servant. Meaning, accept him as your servant. Now, people don't want their children to learn the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, not serve the ulama. Forget about serving the ulama. Because they think that is a waste of time. People think, if you serve a alim, that is a waste of time. If you don't serve a alim, how are you going to have barakah in your life? If you don't have a connection with a alim, how are you going to have barakah in your life? If you don't have a connection with the person who has written the book, how are you going to have barakah? Because barakah comes through connection. Ya Rasulullah, khuwaidimuka Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, he's a little servant. Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for him. Make dua for him. Now, look at the humble request of a mother for a child who is just 10 years old. And look at the far-sightedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if he is seeing the future. Although, nobody, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he knows the future. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, he gave him a big heart sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Allahumma barik fi malihi. وولده، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأطل عمره واغفر ذنبه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله bless in his wealth. But he's a child. He has not started work. People want to see immediate results. Well, there is a time for everything. When the time comes, you will see the result. Ya Rasulullah, make dua for him. Allahumma barik fi mali. Ya Allah, bless him in his wealth. But he's a child. What is his wealth? Wa waladihi. Ya Allah, bless in his children. Well, he's just a child. Where is barakah in children? He himself is a child. وَأَطِلْ عُمُرَهُ, give him long life. وَغْفِرْ ذَنْبَهُ, and forgive his sins. Now you see, when you have a farm, you have, say, field, you grow crops. Sometimes you'll have a season, like, you know, this comes once a year. And once it has come, that's it. You have wheat, for example, you have a season. You have had a crop of wheat, that's it. You have corn, okay, you have a season. Mangoes, season, right? Rice, barley, whatever. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that I used to have twice as much in my crops. Everybody is having once, and I used to have it twice. Is there any scientific explanation for that? Is there any scientific explanation for that? How come everybody, all the neighbors, they are having once and he is having twice? Well, this is barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this barakah is because of the service. In fact, because of the intention of service, because he has not served yet. He just came, poor, you know, little child, he just came, radiallahu anhu, wa'ardah. Wa waladihi, ya Allah, bless in his children. How many children we have nowadays? How many children we have? 2, 3, 4, 5. If you are very, very lucky, 7, 8. If you have more than that, people say, that's too much. How can you look after these many children? How can you feed them? How can you raise them? Sayyidina Anas radiallahu an, he says, I have buried myself with my own hands 98 children. Anas radiallahu an, with his own hand, he buried 98 children. If Allah can give you so many children, why you want to have? All these children, they will make dua for you. All these children, they will be source of joy and happiness. You will never get bored. People have 2, 3 children, and these children, they grow up. One goes to America, one goes to London, and the parents, they sit at home and do nothing. Why you do nothing? Why you do nothing? Even if parents live in the same country, a child goes to California, another child goes to north, somebody goes to south, that's it. Now these children, neither they bother to ask their parents to move there, nor they go and stay with their parents for whatever reason. Now if you have lots of children, well, somebody will be next to you. Somebody just growing up in front of your eyes, why not? One of my teachers, may Allah reward him, he was 80 years old, you know, about 80, I don't know exactly. So once he was giving dars, you know, and some ulama, they talk about this stuff in a very clear manner. And people think that, you know, you should be shy about these things. So he said, my younger daughter, she's just 6 years old. My youngest daughter, she is just 6 years old. And he himself is about 80 years old. If you are going to have children, you are going to have life. You are going to be active. You are going to be energetic. Your life will not be dull. Anyway, so Rasulullah said, he made dua for Anas radiallahu an. Well, he just came for the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he made dua. Ya Allah, bless him and his children. He himself buried with his own hand 98 children. So, barik fi malihi wa waladihi. Ya Allah, bless him in his wealth. Well, twice as much. Right? It did not happen every, you know, next day. Well, you don't need next day. You need it when you need. Allah will give you at the right time. Why not? وَلَدِهِ and 98 children. وَأَطُلْ عُبُرَهُ. Ya Allah, give him long life. Anas radiallahu anhu, he lived more than 100 years. And towards, you know, in the end he used to say, now I am tired. All the du'as of Rasulullah have been fulfilled. I had wealth, I had children, and I also had long life. Now I am hoping for the last du'a. وَغْفِرْ ذَنْبَهُ. Ya Allah, forgive his sins. Now I want to have that, this last du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled. May Allah azza wa jal give us tawfiq to understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah azza wa jal forgive us and forgive our parents and forgive our mashayikh, our teachers, and forgive all the Muslims of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khairan for your time.